what's going on? Happy Monday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Sunday afternoon. It was the finale of the Reds' three-game series against the New York Mets, the rubber matchup of the series, and Andrew Abbott took the ball for the Reds. Abbott would give up three runs on the afternoon, two of them earned over his five innings pitched. The first run was scored in the first inning when a liner was deflected off the glove of Christian Encarnacion Strand, playing first base on Sunday. The ball went to second baseman Santiago Espinal. Espinal made a poor throw to Abbott, who also hesitated coming off the mound himself. Ball went rolling down the first baseline, and a run scored. Second run scored on a bases-loaded hit by pitch, and the third run was a little more conventional. It was a solo shot from Francisco Lindor. The Reds got their only run of the game in the fourth inning. Jamer Candelario walked, Stuart Fairchild had a hard-hit single, Ellie De La Cruz was hit by a pitch, and then Santiago Espinal drove in the run with a sac fly. Later on in that inning, the bases were loaded with just one out for Bubba Thompson getting his first start as a Red. Fortunately for Bubba Thompson, he just hit the ball too hard. Even with his great speed, he grounded into a double play, just the third of his big league career. The bullpen for the Reds did their job. Unfortunately, TJ Antone had to leave the game after throwing just one pitch in a really just heartbreaking scene at Great American Ballpark. Brett Suter came in kind of on an emergency basis. He ended up throwing three shutout innings, and somehow in those three innings, he did not strike out a single batter, but he got through three innings nonetheless without allowing a run. And then Buck Farmer, after throwing two innings yesterday, he threw a perfect inning in the ninth. The Reds did have a couple more chances in this one. In the sixth inning, Ellie De La Cruz walked, stole second base, and stole third base, all with two outs, but Santiago Espinal struck out to strand him there. There were two on with two outs for Christian Encarnacion Strand in the seventh. He missed a potential game-tying double foul down the left field line by just a few inches. He would end up grounding out to end that inning. Reds went 1-2-3 in the eighth and ninth, and the Reds lose their first series of 2024 as they fall 3-1 to the New York Mets. Reds in the series went 3-for-28 with runners in scoring position. Reds now 5-4 overall on the young season. Here's what David Bell had to say after the game on the injury to TJ Antone and the Reds' loss.
We could start with the most meaningful thing going forward. Pretty tough scene with TJ leaving the game. Is there anything you can update us with on TJ Antone?
Not yet. Obviously concerning and all that for any pitcher. We all know that TJ's been through some things. So for right now, we're just going to think positive, keep our fingers crossed that it turns out to be nothing. He's going to get a follow-up exam here today or tomorrow. MRI tomorrow, we'll know a lot more. But no matter what, TJ's going to get through this and he's going to be fine. He's an incredible, in every way, incredible person, incredible teammate, and he's worked so hard to get to this point. And no matter what, he just has so much to offer, and he's going to be fine. He's going to get through this. But like I said, beyond that, you know, we're just fingers crossed. He's going to be out back on the mound here real soon.
Offensively, another tough day against a lefty starter. Is that pattern concerning going forward?
It has seemed like that so far. We like the guys we have, our options against the left-handed starters, so we're going to be fine. Today, Manaea was tough. He had the cutter and the sweeper kind of running in on our right-handed hitters, and he was throwing for strikes, and then he had real good fastball, especially early. So tough at bats, hit a few balls hard, but he pitched a great game against us.
Your impressions of Andrew Abbott today, that pitched well enough at least to keep you guys in the game?
I thought Andrew had great stuff today. I know he gave up a few runs, but not a lot of hard hit balls, and the stuff is outstanding, and he continues to do that, and the results are going to follow.
Just to be clear with TJ, was it his elbow that was...
He felt something in his elbow. Yeah.
the offense, like with how you, how much you prioritize tough at bats, how important is it to cut down on the strikeouts going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance. You know, you have to be aggressive as a hitter. I mean, especially with our speed, we don't want to strike out, for sure. Sometimes they're going to happen. A lot of times it has to do with the pitching more than anything. But as a hitter, you know, you want to stay aggressive. You have to not be afraid to strike out. But, of course, you know, when it comes down to it, we want to put the ball in play hard and have a chance to get on base, because we see what happens when we're able to do that. Good things happen.
Talk about the effort so far in the season, for that matter, Brent Seager. That's given you three big innings today.
Yeah, our bullpen again did a great job. Today it didn't pay off in a win, but it could really help us moving forward, what Brent did. Buck on back-to-back days, went two innings yesterday, one inning today. Both of those guys. But, what Brent did could pay off here for the next few days.
Jonathan, okay, I know he stayed at the game, but Jonathan's was expected.
As far as we know, scary, but looked good. I mean, he was fine the rest of the game.
Our deep drive of the game goes to Bubba Thompson. He hit the furthest ball of the day for the Reds, a 368-foot flyout at 102.3 off the bat. We don't typically give the deep drive of the day to an out, but when Bubba Thompson gets a barrel, you really just have no other choice. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. And thanks, as always, to our friends over at DSC. All right, checking scores around the NL Central. Pirates won again. They won 3-2 over the Orioles. The Brewers crushed the Mariners 12-4. The Cardinals, they lost 10-3 to the Marlins. Shout out to the Marlins. Finally got their first win of the season. And the Cubs, they beat up on the Dodgers 8-1. So that puts the Pirates at 8-2. Brewers are 6-2. Cubs 6-5. Reds 5-4. And the Cardinals are 5-5. All right. Well, here is myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll run through all of the Reds minor league action from Sunday, and we'll preview the upcoming series against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Thank you all for joining us. We know that obviously after Reds losing games, it's not as much fun to talk about, but I still think that there's some there's some interesting banter discussion to be had about the Cincinnati Reds. TJ Antone, you can't say that you're shocked, because ultimately you knew that this was a part of it. And you know what? I'll say, we've talked about TJ so many times on the show before about how he's a warrior. You give him all the credit in the world. It really truly is inspiring is the right word to use about what he did. But the crazy thing, I guess the thing that I'll give him the most credit for, is that he knew in the back of his mind this was very much a possibility. And it was a possibility before he even ever got back to the big leagues in general. I haven't heard word yet if they've come out and said 100% what the situation is. But obviously through one pitch, felt some discomfort in his elbow, put his head down, and left the game. So prayers up for TJ, but if this is it, man, he has nothing to be ashamed of at all. And I hope it's not it, but now I'm very concerned. One, how much can you trust the durability factor? And also, if we're being honest, when it rains, it pours type situation, but he was already kind of right there at the cut line of these guys that are fighting for a spot in the bullpen. So your final, or I guess I don't want to say final thoughts on TJ, but your thoughts on TJ.
Yeah, just it's tough. I mean, it definitely seemed like this is the kind of injury that sidelines him for a while, if not, unfortunately, the last time we ever see him pitch. Incredible comeback, incredible story, showed a lot of heart. I think that you know, hey, whenever his career is over, I think he kind of showed a lot to where teams are going to want that guy around their young players, right? I mean, I think he could have a career in coaching or some sort of development or whatever. He's definitely a guy that you just is really easy to root for, and I think has a bright future outside of baseball. So I'll say that about him.
All right, moving forward, this is what everybody wants to talk about. Let's be honest. This is the spicy. This is the tea, I think, as the kids say. I don't know what the kids always say, but this is the tea. This offense has missed plenty of opportunities, and we'll get to some of the reasons as to why maybe we're upset at this offense here in a minute. I don't want to kind of splurge on this topic too much, but what I will say is that I don't know if I'm going to overreact in regards to this offense as a whole. There are some certain pieces that I might start overreacting to soon, but they had their chances. I mean, with all due respect, Bubba Thompson, I gave him all the credit in the world yesterday about how I thought maybe that whole inning was due to him kind of making some plays. I'm not trying to put it all on his back today, but let's face it, if he gets a base hit right there, the Reds probably find themselves in a lucrative spot to win the game. Instead, he did the thing that he just couldn't do, the last possible thing that he could do, which is hit a one-hopper to third base, and it was a routine double play, and that pretty much ended, I don't want to say ended the game, but it ended the Reds' last real shot. What are you going to do, though? You know, like It's hard to manufacture a fake take here. I'm not going to overreact too much. Are you?
No, I mean, the Reds sit right now 10th in Major League Baseball in OPS, so I don't think that their offense has been terrible by any stretch of the imagination. I think CES hitting third, Candelaria batting fourth, both those guys being the two guys that are struggling the most is probably the thing that stands out. But both of those guys are two of the guys, when I look at this lineup, that I feel like have one of the highest floors. Like, I think Ellie De La Cruz is a guy that, you know, could swing wildly one way or the other. I think even Will Benson is a guy that could swing more wildly, you know, one way or the other. Stuart Fairchild, the list goes on and on. I do feel pretty confident in both those guys that they're going to hit over the course of 162, but when they're hitting third and fourth, you're probably going to strand a lot of runners, and that's kind of, you know, what's happened so far. But I think the offense has been fine. Just, you know, look, the Mets have a good pitching staff. I said it all weekend. They came in with the best ERA in the National League. And I think you saw why this weekend. They have some really talented pitchers. Stinks to lose two or three, but also it's kind of one of those things the Mets were kind of due, right? I mean, that team was not as bad as they were the first six games, starting 1-6. Like, they're not that bad. And I think, you know, you see some other teams around baseball, like the Pirates are starting off really hot. They're not going to keep up with this pace either. So it does kind of come, you know, back and forth. And that's just kind of where we're at right now.
Baseball is a goofy game. It's really a goofy game. Friday night, that was the night that if we wanted to be upset about anything, I think that was the night the Reds had to capitalize and find a way to win that game, because it just it was right there for the taking, and they didn't. And give the Mets some credit. And then Saturday, thank the Lord for that bottom of the eighth inning, because I mean, otherwise you're looking at a sweep to a team that came in here limping really, really, really bad. And the bullpen was basically desolate, and yeah, it's tough. You're not gonna win I was thinking that today, like, you're not gonna win every single series, obviously, but I don't know. It's tough not to win this one, because it felt like you had some positive momentum going and it just didn't pan out. But they got everything they want in front of them, as we all know. We're, what, 9 games in? So,
some of that's baseball, Trace. I mean, you don't expect the Reds to win in Philly, right?
No, exactly.
You don't expect the Reds to win that series. You thought probably they could win this series. They flip at the end of the week. They went 3-3, which is what I think just about every sane human would have expected them to do this week.
Right. Yeah. If you didn't expect them to go 3-3, you'd expect them at best to go 4-2. Or at maybe worst, go 2-4. So, I mean, they're right there in the middle of what you sandwich between probably the worst case scenario and the best case scenario. So it is what it is. I know that maybe that's not the way to start off a show and not have super hot takes, but I think we'll get to them in a minute. Andrew Abbott, I did good enough. Again, I don't want to say he was great. He wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he did good enough to kind of keep himself in the loop here for the starting position or starting pitching position or spot, whatever term you would like to use for it. I don't know. He's still young. Like, you know, like, there's still I don't know if it's nerves. What is it? He's not been able to get out of the gate great yet. You know, it's just kind of like, kind of not, his command hasn't been there. And then he finds a way to middle himself out or make it muddy enough to get through a few more innings. And then he kind of, I don't want to say escapes, but he escapes a starting pitching line that's not all that hateful.
Yeah, it felt like he could have pitched better, but it also felt like it really could have gone off the rails too, right? I mean, like, yeah. He had the base loaded, hit a batter, and then still only got out of that one inning, only allowing that one run. So, yeah, I mean, he's young, he's learning. He's been fine so far. We'll talk about the rotation. I don't want to go too far because I did have that like next on the rundown. What I think they're going to do, something that a lot of people aren't going to expect. So I'll tease that a little bit for right now.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the high road here today. You had mentioned obviously the inning that he had the bases juiced. He had the bases juiced and he got out of it for one reason. I'll give credit where credit's due. Like I said, you know, this is and I do think there's a chance that maybe I shorted the other side one yesterday, but that's okay. So, you know, look at that. They're on the board finally. Good to see them on the board. Yes. That's good. I like that. I like a good competition, Nick. I didn't want that to get too far out of hand. All right.
There was another shift. It wasn't a double play shift.
Not a double play shift.
Ball hit right at Ellie. He was right over at, he was borderline over how far you're allowed to go.
You're talking about over the second base bag, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was also, just to be fair too, there was a squibbler, I believe, down the third base line that Candelario didn't get either. I don't know if you remember that one, but we can't do this all year. Like, that's the other thing that I just want to make very clear. Like, I am not anti-shift. Just to be very clear, I am not anti-shift per se. Like, if there's nobody on, there's maybe a guy on first and second, so be it. But, like, I just don't want the second baseman being so far away from the bag that it makes it impossible for him to turn a double play. But that's here nor there. We're not going to do that again today. Let's get into the next whole list of topics. This thing, I think, has some spice to it. But before we get to it, we'll talk about the Game Time app. For those that don't know, Game Time is a ticketing sponsor of ours, and you can download the Game Time app. And once you do it, you'll realize it is a nice app, Nick. I know our loyal listeners have heard me say this time and time and time again. But it is nice. You can click on the tickets, and one of my favorite things I'll say about it is you can see the seat location, or you can see a picture of the field from where you're sitting. And then after that, you can make sure you have the all-in pricing tab clicked at the top, and boom, next click, use Apple Pay, no free ads to Apple. I'm sure they don't need them, but you know, use Apple Pay, and boom, you're gone. It's really nice. And you know what else is nice? $20 off your first purchase. Use code CINCY, CINCY. That is code CINCY, CINCY. You can get $20 off your first purchase. So thank you to the Game Time app. All right. Starting pitching rotation. I don't think it's as complicated as it needs to be. I think it's relatively set in stone for me. Lodolo, regardless of his outing today, it was like a little spruce up outing here. I know it didn't go the way that he had probably hoped, but you know what? I don't care. He's getting put back in there. I got two lefties in the rotation now, and then now I got another arm that I can truly rely upon in the bullpen, and that's that. I know there's not as many options out of the bullpen as we'd like, so that makes things a little more hairy and difficult, but Antone just got hurt, so we shall see. David Bell said he is leaving nothing out of the possibility or the realm of possibility, he said.
I think they're going to do a six-man rotation. I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, breaking news.
That's not breaking news. They haven't said anything.
On your end. You've not proclaimed this.
Well, what Sadak today, we were talking about the no stone unturned, said that David Bell said they were, I guess, mulling the idea of a six-man rotation. And I just think that makes a lot of sense, kind of when you take a step back. Because you look at every starting pitcher that the Reds have out there, none of them have, outside of Frankie Montas, have gone a full season, right? And Frankie Montas only threw one inning last year. So I think right now, I think they're going to do a six-man rotation when the Dolo comes back. Martinez is already scheduled to start on Thursday. And it doesn't seem like they're going to take Andrew Abbott out of the rotation right now. So that's kind of what I think is probably going to happen, at least for a little while. And I know a lot of people hate the idea of a six-man rotation. I'll just say the team coming in next, the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that ran away with the division last year, used a six-man rotation for a large part of last year, and it saves their pitchers. The only thing that's concerning is the bullpen. But the positive is Brett Suter's been able to go multiple innings at a time, went three innings today. Buck Farmer's been able to go multiple innings at a time. And I think that allows you to be able to do a six-man rotation. Because if you don't have that, you could really get into situations where your bullpen's fried behind them. But I think that's what they're going to do.
We'll find out. I don't think they'll stick to it that long if they do that. But I'd be careful to doing that, largely because last year, I just don't want to be in a spot towards the end of the season where we got a bunch of guys throwing their career high in innings in the bullpen, and we're relying on them when it means the most, and they're burnt out or they're tired. Now, you could argue the opposite for the starters. If they're doing a six-man rotation, clearly those guys will probably stay a little more fresh. But those guys don't throw that many innings. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think that those guys are going to get to a spot where they're heavily fatigued regardless. Now, you're going to point to Abbott last year. That's fine. He was a rookie, though. I'm talking about most of these guys now that we have in here. You know, they're veterans. I guess you could convince me Montas, you don't know since he's came off of an injury. So, we'll see. We'll find out. If they do go to a six-man, it'll be interesting to see if they ever get themselves in a spot where they're just toast when it comes to arms out of the pen, but you know, we shall find out. Suter's throwing the ball really, really well, man.
Yeah, and his ability to go multiple innings makes him so much more valuable, right. in my opinion, because he's not going to be a guy that's going to strike a lot of guys out. He's not going to be a guy that you want to bring in with the bases loaded, you know, no one out, trying to get some strikeouts. But if he can go two, three innings at a time. Man, that just felt like the one piece the Reds were missing so much last year was that guy that you could count on. Because it felt like the Reds had a lot of young pitchers, a lot of them throw a lot of pitches to get through their innings. And Suter's really a nice complement to a lot of those other guys.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. CES, this is going to be the hot topic of the day. I know that there's going to be some folks in the chat that are already probably frustrated with this. I put out the poll question yesterday, who's been a bigger disappointment so far? And I know we're talking 30 at-bats, Nick. We're talking nine baseball games. You got to remind yourself of that from time to time, right? But you know what I think also happens for fandom in April? I do think overreactions are more prone. Reds baseball's been away for so long. You've been starving to watch, and you're ready to eat it all up, right? By the time July rolls around, I don't know. I'm not saying you're fatigued or you're worn out, but you kind of have a little bit of wear and tear on the tires. You're not as worried about what everything looks like perhaps anymore, right? You know how you get something brand new and you try to make sure it stays super nice. Then over time, you're just like, you know what? I'm just gonna make sure I get to utilize it for what it's actually for. Right now, I think CES is the culprit of all of us wanting to see, you know, great play right from the get go. I'm not going to overreact yet, but he's got about two more weeks for me. He's got about two more weeks for me, and then from there, we get in that 75 at bat range, and I'm going to start to be like, hey, this is the big leagues. At some point, you gotta produce. Especially if you're going to be put in run production spots. And I know that you say that the lineup doesn't matter or the where you're putting the lineup doesn't matter, but I really do think that if you're going to be put in the three hole, you got it. You can't be the guy with the least slugging percentage on the team. It just can't happen. And then on top of that, you stack back to back the two guys with maybe the least slugging percentage on an everyday basis on this team are hitting at the three and four hole. It makes it tough. Maybe he'll bust out of this. He'll go 4-for-4 the next game or 5-for-5. The next thing you know, you look around, you see his stats, and they're completely different. Completely different. But I don't know. He's still young. He's not out of the, hey, you can send him to AAA woods for me, Nick.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying, if he struggles for 2, 3, 4 more weeks, I'm not against giving him the Will Benson treatment. I'm not saying he's not a big leaguer. I think I said earlier that he's one of the few guys on this team I think will hit 50 home runs if you know, if everything goes well in this in the Great American Ballpark in a season. But my point is, if you have Mike Ford readily available and Mike Ford's playing well, I think it's safe to say that Mike Ford can at least give him a couple weeks, and maybe you try to spark something and you come back and you will Benson it. Hopefully. That's easier said than done, but
yeah, I mean, he doesn't play like a premium position either, so he has a shorter leash, I guess, than
right.
a guy like, obviously, Ellie De La Cruz.
Or, correct.
Someone like that. But remember, he did start slow last year when he was called up. It took him a little while to get his feet under him. I know a lot of people were like, you got to move him out of the 3-hole. He can't be there right now. And maybe it would have been fair to say at the beginning of the year, putting him in the 3-hole wasn't the right spot. I'll listen to that argument. I think that argument might be fair. But you can't, after 9 games, say, all right, well, we tried to 3-hole. Let's move you to the back of the line. It's just, how's that going to help this guy's confidence this early in the year? So you got to ride it out. If you're putting him in the 3-hole to start the year, you ride it out a little bit longer. You see if he can get going. Again, I think that CES is a professional hitter. He's going to have some ugly at-bats. That's just kind of how his game is. He swings at everything. But it's worked for him throughout his entire career. So that kind of is what he is. And he's going to have these slumps that look kind of ugly. But, man, when he gets going, you're going to completely forget about it. And I think he'll get going soon. Maybe not this week with the Milwaukee Brewers coming in town. That team could typically pitch a little bit. I'm not worried about CES. Of all the players in the Reds lineup, he's not a guy that I typically worry about, because he can hit. Now, the question is, like, can he hit elite enough to where kind of his business doesn't have a lot of value other than hitting? He's a hitter. That's it. He's not a defensive guy. He's not a base runner. There's not really much else to his game, but he'll hit.
100%. I think Ellie's also shown, at least today, I mean, he might struggle, but he has the potential to help you in so many other areas if he gets it going that you give him a long leash, a very, very, very long leash. CES, I don't think, has anywhere near those capabilities, so you kind of left with, hey, how are you slugging the ball here? If you're not slugging the ball very, very well, then it's kind of tough to keep the, I guess, for lack of a better term, to use another analogy here on shout-out to the Women's National Championship game, but if you got a specialist three-point shooter and they're not making threes, at some point you look over to coach and you say, hey, man, if he can't make threes, then he can't help us. So they're not going to the game. CES, he's got, I don't know, 2-3 more weeks with me, and then I'm going to start questioning whether or not maybe he should find a little bit of a brief stint somewhere else to kind of get his mind right. But again, we're 9 games in. Let's not get too crazy here. Someone asked, hey, is it okay for me to be, I'm paraphrasing here, and they said, is it too much for me to be disappointed in the way this team always tries to try to, you know, basically, for lack of a better term, play platoon lineups? They have a bunch of right-handed hitters in there that are not very good. I'm assuming he's speaking to Espinal, and I'm assuming he's speaking to Bubba Thompson, right? But here's
not
the thing.
Because he got a hit today. Not Stewart.
Yeah, not Stewart. I think he's earned a leash here. I don't know how long it is. You know how people are. Fans are crazy. But Stewart, honestly, Stewart's earned, like, real cred for me. Like, I think I'll say it. I think Stu is 100% on a playoff roster, no matter what they decide to do or add. Like, there's a lot of value there for me. I like Stu. Moving forward, you look at Espinal and you look at Bubba Thompson. Will Benson has been struggling a little bit. I think he was 2 of his last 19. He didn't get another hit today, so he's 2 of his last 20. If memory serves me right, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But you add in that part of the pie, and then you add in the fact that again, I don't really know how well Benson hits lefties anyways. And you stir this pot up, and I guess my point or my thing to everybody is that there's just not much of a better option, man. Like, there's just not. It sucks. I mean, it does stink to think that Espinal is a guy that we gotta play. So sometimes I'd be lying. Can I tell the truth on this show? I will. I'd be lying if I told you I seen Bubba Thompson and Espinal playing in this game, and my mind didn't creep a little bit to the idea of, kind of like when I seen Kevin Newman play a few times last year. Are we really good? Are we as good as I think we are? Maybe we're not really good. Maybe we're average. Maybe we're a little below average. see Bubba Thompson grounded the double play, and then you scratch your head and you think, man, I don't, maybe we're not good. But then a right-hander throws the next day and you're feeling good again. You know, that all that kind of goes away. I don't know what they're supposed to do, Nick. Left-hander throws, what are you going to do?
Well, Espinal's 12 at-bats. Maybe we could give the guy a little bit more patience at-bats.
I've seen enough, to be fair.
He's not a great hitter. Was an all-star in 2022.
That's fine. I got a vacuum that used to work, too. It doesn't work anymore. Sitting at the curb right now.
Bubba Thompson, I mean, he's not going to play. The Reds face another lefty tomorrow, and Manea's the better of the two. At least you would expect. We'll talk more about tomorrow's starter in a second. So it made sense to give Will a day off. And Will hasn't been hitting, like you said, and has never hit lefties. So you're really, it's not really a good option either way, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe at some point you got to think about shaking things up and going for broke and calling up Blake Dunn. Remember, he started spring training injured, so they want to make sure he's comfortable before you call him up. Connor Capel's maybe another guy, but it's just there's not a whole lot of really good options right now with Friedel hurt, with Marte suspended, with McClain on the IL. This is kind of the options, and every team goes through this at some point where they have guys that they don't really want to have in the lineup that's in the lineup. But I think Espinal will be fine. I really think you got to give this guy more than 12 at-bats. He's not going to be great, but I think he's going to be your typical backup infielder. I think he's probably going to settle in and probably be where most fans thought Kevin Newman was by the middle of the year. I think most fans thought, okay, this guy's not the worst player I've ever seen. He's not great, but we're not going to cry every time that we see him come up to the plate anymore. And I think Espinal will eventually slide into that. But I mean, this guy got traded with like 3 days left at the end of spring training, went to a new team. Let's give him just a tiny bit of rope. Can we do that? Is that okay?
No, listen, I mean, you give Espinal all the rope he needs, I'm sure that he'll end up hanging himself with it. That's fine. I one of those things where I don't think Espinal needs any. You do whatever you want with him, Nick. That's fine. I hope I'm wrong about him, but I know one thing. I do know one thing. If Jose Barrero was hitting a 1-for-12, the dude, literally, I don't even think the dude would be able to get out of the parking garage without having people picketing. So I'm just saying, for all the people that used to scream and yell about Jose Barrero, this is what we got now. But you know what? I'll give him some time. You asked for me to give him some time. I'm gonna do that, Nick. I'm gonna give him some time. So to be fair,
let him get to 20 at bats.
I'll give him better than that. I'll give him 25.
Wow.
I know. Very nice of me. I know. Very nice. Hopefully, we got to 2 hits by then. If we do, that'd be great. All right.
Only needs one more. He got to hit his first at bat, didn't he? I think he got to hit his first at bat. He's 0-for-11 since.
Should have stopped while he was ahead.
All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Sunday. We'll start out with AAA. Louisville Bats lost 8-2 to Gwinnett. Bats now 4-5 on the season. Nick Lodolo, as we talked about a little bit on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube, threw 2 2/3 innings, gave up 5 hits, 4 earned runs, no walks, and struck out 2. Lodolo threw 64 pitches in this one. 44 of them were strikes, and his fastball velocity topped out at 94.3. So overall, not the best start for Lodolo, giving up 4 runs, but he didn't walk anyone, was able to throw strikes, and velocity looked okay. So I'm interested to see if he joins the Reds rotation this next weekend, or if maybe he makes one more start in Louisville. It sounded like the Reds were planning on activating him next weekend, but we shall see on that. Sam Moll, he threw a scoreless inning, just gave up 1 hit, no walks, and struck out 2 batters. This was back-to-back days that Sam Moll pitched at Louisville, so have to think he might be getting close to being activated here in the near future. Yasver Zuleta, the talented arm, guy that could throw 100 miles an hour, Reds claimed off waivers recently from the Blue Jays. You might remember his first outing was electric, struck out the side. Second outing was really rough, got hit around hard. On Sunday, a solid outing from him. He threw a scoreless inning, didn't get up a hit, walked 1 batter, and struck out 2. Blake Dunn, he was 1-for-3 with a walk. Rhys Hines' tough start to the AAA season continued. He was 0-for-4 and committed another error. That is 4 errors in the last 2 games for Rhys Hines. Hines hitting just 118 with a 555 OPS so far down at AAA. Mike Ford had a big day. He was 2-for-4 with a home run and a double. Home run was 390 feet, exit velocity of 102.6. And Connor Capel was 0-for-2. One interesting note, Capel was pinch hit for late in the game. Not sure if it was injury related. He was hit by a pitch early in the game. Looked like it might have, you know, tweaked something on it. So we'll see about him. Capel's off to a great start down at AAA for the Bats. All right, tough weekend for the Chattanooga Lookouts at AA. They lost 8-2 to Birmingham. They were swept in their opening series. They fall to 0-3. Chase Petty got the start. Not the best start for him. 4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Gave up a home run. He actually allowed a walk and a homer to the very first 2 batters that he faced of the season. He did bounce back. He ended up retiring 7 of the 9 batters that he faced. Zach Maxwell out of the bullpen, a really talented arm that seems to be flying up the Reds' radar as a reliever. He struck out the side in his AA debut. Last year, he ended the season at Dayton. Reds fan Brandon over on Twitter pointed out that the broadcast said he hit 101 on his second strikeout. Some of the offensive performances, Jose Torres was 2-for-5. Tyler Callahan, 1-for-5 with a stolen base. Austin Hendrick, 1-for-4 with a double. And Yvonne Johnson was 2-for-4. All right, down to the exciting Dayton Dragons in High A. They won a thriller 7-6 over Lansing. Cade Hunter had a walk-off single in the bottom of the ninth to finish off a big comeback win for them. They actually trailed 6-2 going into the seventh inning. Dragons improved to 2-1 on the season. And a lot of notable performances offensively in this one. Jay Allen was 1-for-4. He hit a home run his first of the season. He also walked. Carlos Jorge, 1-for-3, stole a base. Carlos Jorge actually left the game on Friday night. Seemed to be maybe holding his leg when he left. So good to see him back in action on Sunday and stealing a base. So you'd have to think he's feeling good. Sal Stewart and Cam Collier each had 3 hits. Both guys went 3-for-5. Hector Rodriguez had a monster day. He was 3-for-5 with his first home run of the year, and he also doubled. Ethan O'Donnell, 2-for-4, a double and a walk. Cade Hunter, 2-for-5. The list goes on and on. That is just an incredibly talented offensive team. I love that team down in Dayton. There was just a lot of energy in this game as well. I was able to watch a little bit of it. Just a really, really fun team to watch right now. Over on the pitching, Javier Rivera, guy who had a great year last year, struggled in this one. Only pitched 2 1/3 inning, gave up 3 hits, 4 earned runs, walked 2, struck out 3. But Ian Jabeau made his second rehab appearance. He threw a scoreless inning, actually a perfect inning, with 1 strikeout. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they won 2-0 over St. Lucie. They improved to 2-1 on the season. Most of the big bats out of the lineup on Sunday, Alfredo Duno, Ricardo Cabrera, and Eastmith Pineda all were out. Carlos Sanchez was 0-for-3, did walk twice. Connor Burns 0-for-3 with a walk. But the starting pitcher in this one, Adam Sierwinski, a talented arm. The Reds seem to be high on. He's got a really, really nasty slider. He was electric on Sunday. Through 4 innings, only gave 1 hit, no runs, no walks, and struck out 6. So Adam Sierwinski, he's a guy to keep on your radar as this season goes on. All right, the Reds will start a 4-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers starting on Monday night. Brewers come in 6-2. They started the season off by sweeping the Mets, split 2 against the Twins, and then won 2 of 3 against the Mariners over the weekend. However, they do, despite the 6-2 record, only have a run differential of plus 10. Reds are actually at plus 7. Your starting pitching matchups for this series, Monday night, it is Graham Ashcraft up against Aaron Ashby. Tuesday, Frankie Montas against Joe Ross. Wednesday, Hunter Green against technically TBA. Could be Wade Miley. And then Thursday, Nick Martinez against Freddie Peralta. All right, Monday night's game tonight, 6:40 p.m. on Bally Sports Ohio. If you're out of the Cincinnati market, this is actually the MLB TV free game of the day. The pitchers, starting pitching matchup for Monday night's game, Graham Ashcraft going for the Reds. coming off a really good start to his season, allowed just two runs over six innings pitched in Philadelphia. He's got a career 7.20 ERA against the Brewers. However, if you look a little closer at that, last year he had that one start where he gave up 10 earned runs against the Brewers, but then in the other two starts he only allowed a combined three runs. So kind of a feast or famine with Graham Ashcraft last year against the Brewers. Willy Adames has two career home runs against Ashcraft. William Contreras and Sal Frelick each have a home run as well. On a positive note, though, Christian Yelich is just 3-for-15. And then for the Brewers, it'll be the lefty Aaron Ashby. This will actually be his first appearance in the big leagues since 2022. He had a torn labrum, missed all of last year in the big leagues, did make a couple appearances at the end of the year at AAA, but never made it back up to the big league roster. The Brewers actually signed him to a $20 million five-year contract extension right before he got hurt. He hasn't had a great start to his season, though. He had a 9.72 ERA this spring, gave up 14 hits in 8 1/3 innings. He gave up three earned runs over five innings pitched, his only AAA start. He threw 77 pitches. Ashby's velocity is down quite a bit. It's down 3 miles an hour on his fastball and sinker from where it was back in 2022. And then he's down actually about 4 miles per hour on his slider. Ashby has a career 5.19 ERA against the Reds in one start, three bullpen appearances, all back in 2022. Only four active Reds have faced him. Stuart Fairchild's 1-for-1. India's 1-for-4 with a double. Steers 1-for-1. And Tyler Stevenson is 0-for-1. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all of the support. Make sure you subscribe to wherever you listen to this podcast. New podcast every single day, all season long, recapping each of the Reds games this season. And then, of course, also subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, where we do all of our live shows. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. We would appreciate that. And even more importantly, tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds. If you know a Reds fan, ask if they've checked out Chatterbox Reds. That would really help us out, and we would appreciate that. If you're looking for something on Monday, we have Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Trace Fowler hosts that. Late Sunday night, there was a lot of news about Coach Calipari probably leaving UK, so I'm sure that'll be a big topic of discussion on Monday morning. We'll talk, of course, the weekend with the Reds, Bengals talk, and more. We also now have the Kinner and Kev show. That's a show on 1410 Wing AM in Dayton. We simulcast that on Chatterbox Sports 3 to 5 p.m., Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. So we've partnered with 1410. Actually, Off the Bench is actually on 1410 replayed from 1 to 3. Links to all of our shows and everything are in the episode notes below, so be sure to check that out. We hope that you have a fantastic Monday. We'll talk on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. We'll go live in the ninth inning. If you missed that or you just want to listen to it again, we'll be in podcast form for you in Tuesday morning. Go Reds!